you for taking a ride on the Freedom Train Podcast. I'm your host, Dose Ford, and as always, ride with me is my good homie, Mr. Patrick Irvin. And remember, the Freedom Train is brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. That way you can learn more about the organization. Check out their homepage with a lot of statistics and information. Check out the codes of conduct, more about the organization, how to contact them, who the PAX family is, how to become a member, how to donate, how to get involved in literacy programs, their sports packages and surveys. And if you hover your mouse over the More tab, you'll see a drop-down box for the Learning Center. Hover your mouse over the Learning Center. Bam, a whole lot of more resources, audio, politics, books, survival, legal cases, and videos, all for your learning pleasure. All you got to do is once again visit our website at www.pactsinc.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com, where at least 4 or 5 times a week you get bust in the head with some of the realest and the bestest podcasts for the realest and the bestest podcasters in the world right here on the Freedom Train Network, who is myself, Joseph Ward, who is Patrick Irvin, who is Enigma September, who is Shepard Davis, and the list is right there at the time. But you get what the hell I'm saying. So once again, our website is www.freedomtrainradio.com. Ain't that right, Pat?
Who is all them people?
One of them, you.
Oh.
Yeah. Remember, I know you forgot because you became one of them villains in the Terminator movie, the Evil T-2000. That's you, but I'm glad you're back human now. So.
I don't even know what to do with that.
Hey, how about this? Tell them about the app.
Tell them what is on your mind. Tell them how it's going to find. Oh, so Android, we got an app in the App Store. iPhone users. Well, we had a data wipe issue about 3-4 months ago now, so all the progress got erased. But if you got an Android phone, you go into the Google Play Store, type in Freedom Train Network. You'll know it when you see it because it's got the ever so recognizable, indistinguishable, indomitable Freedom Train.
Toot-toot.
Background. Going all through your phone. Anyways, you cop that and you'll get automatic updates to your phone for everything that we want y'all to know, including show updates and everything else. And when we bring on new shows, you won't even have to do nothing different because they just automatically populate right into your app with an automatic update.
Bam! So
go ahead and get that out. Also, you know, if you want push notifications and other things about what's going on, all things Freedom Train, that's how you're going to find out before anything else. Otherwise, you got to wait for a show. But if you got the app, you know, we might pop something up on you right away. You never know, you know. Maybe some free prizes, some sweepstakes. We ain't done nothing like that. We ain't got nothing like that planned. But you never know, you know. So, that's the app.
All right. All in your face. All in your face. All in your face. Don't be hating, Pat. I know you over there hating because you're like, damn, I wish I could sing like that. But no,
word.
You can't.
Word.
Yeah. Hey, man. So, what you doing for Crip Month?
Nothing.
I know you're celebrating. I know you're celebrating Crip Month.
Nah, I'm not actually. Well, I might. I don't know. You know, I'm married. It ain't all about me.
Big Christmas.
So, you know, the wife likes celebrating Christmas and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't get in the way.
So what you buying me?
A stripper?
Yes.
Yeah. I got a So she's 4'11", 750 okay. pounds, and her stripper name is Mayonnaise.
Hey, man. You saying she white?
You have to find out when Mayonnaise show up.
So basically what you're saying on air is you support white businesses over black businesses?
Nah, I just said her stripper name was Mayonnaise.
Nah, I get what you're saying between the lines.
Oh, and you the one
who
already said on numerous occasions that you like light-skinned women. So you separate...
I like black women. I like black women, period. Light skin, brown skin, dark skin, pecan, tan, butter pecan, high yellow. I like black women.
You splitting our sisters up, man. I thought you was better than
okay.
me.
Okay. Whatever. You Nazi.
You're Nazi. Don't work.
You gotta go for the juggler.
All right. What we got?
Hey, so we got one mention and four topics today, right? So, bam, the one mention is dun, 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 Trump's impeachment. So, I know Pat been telling y'all what's going to happen, but he just going to summarize what actually happened because a lot of people turned into civics professionals after the impeachment happened to explain thoroughly what was said during vow impeachment, and a lot of people sound stupid. So, break that thing down for them. But in our topics, our first topic is a FAMU student was killed by Jacksonville police. So we're gonna learn about that. There was a black girl who pulled a Juicy Smollett, and she faked her own kidnapping. So we're gonna talk about her as Oprah. He's going after Russell Simmons in the documentaries that would be accusing him of sexual assault, even though he was acquitted or not found of any sexual misconduct. So, and Russell's like, man, Oprah, what the fuck? So everybody else is like, man, Oprah, what the fuck? So we're going to ask Oprah as well, Oprah, what the fuck? And then last story is a young black girl was kidnapped and sex trafficked by this white dude, and eventually she killed him, and she's on trial or has been convicted of murder, of his murder, and we're going to dig into that and kind of give our thoughts about that, because it's basically shades of Centoya Brown, basically. So let's jump to this, man. Pat, you ready, man? You got your big wet pants on, man? You wash your hands?
Well, my hands ain't washed, but I'm ready. I'm ready, homie.
All right. There it is. So we're going to start, like I said, with the young man from Jacksonville, who was in Jacksonville, who's a FAMU student, who was killed during an officer-involved shooting. So, and his friends say the goddamn story don't add up. So let me read this. It's not a lot. So FAMU students remembering a classmate and friend killed during an officer-involved shooting. 22-year-old Jamie Johnson was shot four times during a traffic stop. The Jacksonville Sheriff's Office says it happened after an altercation. Heartbroken is the word to keep hearing by everyone. Johnson's friends tell us things aren't adding up, and they don't believe their friend deserved what happened. You hear about it every day. And you go, that's so crazy. Then it happened so close to home, said friend Ty Cromer. Cromer said his group is missing their sweetest friend. He deserved more time. He deserved his life, yada, yada, yada. Green said Johnson was in our class. So let's say what police said happened just doesn't sit. That's a devastating loss. So Jacksonville Sheriff Officer said Johnson was killed on a traffic stop Saturday night. Deputy said when they noticed he had a gun, he was asked to get out of the car. That's when they said struggle happened. Johnson is accused of hopping back into his car and reaching for a gun in the front seat. His friends say they want to see what happened for themselves. I don't believe that story they're putting out there because it was legally in his name. He had no criminal record. He has no reason to do the actions they were saying he's done. So everybody's waiting for the video to come out, and of course, people are fighting for justice. But they said during a traffic stop. They noticed officers, or the deputies noticed he had a gun. He was asked to step out of the car. That's when they said struggle ensued. I guess he won the struggle, what they're saying. He got back in the car and reached for his gun, and that's when the officer put four bullets into him. So, this is your first time hearing about this, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, it was when you mentioned it. When we were talking about show topics, that was my first time hearing about it.
Okay. So, of course, you're me being here in Tallahassee. I'm gonna hear about it because I'm here in Tallahassee and I'm on FAMU campus all the time. So, I think the group Dream Defenders had I'm not sure if it was a rally or if it was the students' memorial, but I know I saw something on Instagram. I mean,
Dream Defenders is still a thing?
Yeah, Dream Defenders still out. It's still around. Philip Agnew is not a part of it. I saw an interview of him on Talib Kweli's podcast, and he said he's no longer with Dream Defenders, but they're still around. So it's Dream Defenders Tallahassee. And yeah, so there's pictures now of them at the flame, at the FAMU eternal flame, with a poster that says Long Live Jamie. So it was a vigil, and they had posters in his name, so I guess they rallied in his name at the vigil. But my thing about this is, once again, with police, clearly they are trained to deal with black people differently. Now, because of lack of true evidence, right now we're only speculating, but one thing we do know is police deal with black people differently. So if this was a white guy in this situation, he may or may not have, it's a less likely chance he'd have been shot if it's a white guy in the situation. Because it's a black guy, black guys definitely going to be seen as a threat, and the threat's going to be neutralized. So how do you feel about, like, the overall feeling of it, Pat? What's your overall feeling of this?
I don't know that it's frustrating, because on the one hand, you're going to have people that say he shouldn't have been fighting with the police.
But we don't know why he was fighting. See, that's the thing. Right.
And that's the other issue is, you really don't know what was going on. See, when we get in these situations, it's frustrating for me because it kind of points to the fact that the police are always in a win-win situation.
Yeah, you know, I was seen as the person who should be believed.
Yeah, so socially and culturally, they are above reproach. And then even legally, they're allowed to defend themselves, but they're also allowed to be the aggressor. Now, I'm not saying that to the letter of the law. I'm saying that to the interpretation of the law, to the way that the laws have been carried out and interpreted in the legal system. So a cop pulling you over can, in that moment, do no wrong. Like, they can fuck you up, and if you fight back, you're in trouble. The only way to get out of these situations is to let them fuck you up and then bring up charges later and hope that they stick. But then that's an assumption for black people, because a lot of the times they don't stick, or we end up getting killed anyway. So
yeah, it's that bullshit, because we are in a lose-lose situation. And then on top of that, there are a lot of adults who believe in teaching their kids survival tactic, but the survival tactic is a docile tactic, and it's still not gonna keep your child from getting fucked up.
Yeah, because you don't want to escalate you don't want to be the escalator in the situation. Like, you want to try to keep things calm, but that's in any potentially aggressive, violent situation. That's not just with police, but beyond that, there's really nothing you can do to teach. If a police, if an officer is having a bad day and your child is interacting with that officer, your child is totally at the mercy of that police officer. And that's something that we just got to be real about.
You know what?
Go ahead.
Now, finish what you're saying, because you just made me think of something. Like, you just made me think of a conversation I had.
That's something we just have to be real about. And the only way we can impact that is as a community to start to impact the police force, the entire force and the entire political establishment that backs the police force. I'm talking about community committees that oversee police officers. I'm talking about various things like that. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we got to get used to the fact that there is no training you can offer your child to protect them from a cop that wants to fuck them up.
Well, I was at work when I was having this conversation about being at the mercy of an officer having a bad day. And I was comparing what the officer does to what we do. We cannot have a bad day. Our CEO reiterates that on a regular basis. We cannot have bad days at work. You can have a bad day, but you got to leave that shit at the door. And so our jobs are nowhere near as dangerous and lethal as police officers' jobs and the interactions that we have, right? So why is it socially presumed acceptable for officers to be able to have a bad day and fuck black people up, and fuck people up, period, but especially black people? But, like, at my job, even though I'm dealing with customers who end up being assholes, I can't have a bad day. And I'm not saying I should be able to have a bad day. I'm just saying the perception of me being at the mercy of an officer's bad day is a horrible, horrible thing. Horrible reality, and it's a horrible way to have to teach our kids to live, because we don't have to teach our kids to live in fear, but we do teach our kids to live in fear and be at the mercy of some officer who feels like they just want to fuck you up that day. And that's bad, because it's hard to assume that this not the case for this particular case, for this particular situation with this young man. It's hard to assume that isn't what happened, because we know the general things of what happened with black people with police encounters is I guess it could have been being uppity Negro in their eyes, and bam, end up dead. We don't know. They say a scuffling ensued. So now another debate that's out there that I have and that other people have is, like, we do have the right to defend ourselves against police officers. So if a police officer is doing something illegal and wrong, yes, it might end up in me losing my life, but I do have the right to defend myself. And it's just like once again, we had a catch 22, because it's a lose-lose situation for black people. No matter the result of the situation, the black person is going to lose.
Well, and that's the kicker, because we most definitely have, constitutionally, you have the right to defend yourself from any aggressor. Doesn't matter who it is.
Right.
Especially if it's unwarranted and unfounded. If the police have reasons to stop you, then they can declare those reasons. But they can also overstep their bounds, in which case you have a reason to resist. But the fact that we face as black people is that even when we don't resist, we run the risk of getting fucked up. So when we do resist, and then the narrative that comes out afterwards, I remember having this conversation with two or three teenagers who wanted to be police officers, and we were talking about whose responsibility is it to de-escalate situations involving the community and the police. And all of these kids who wanted to be, and there was two of them, not three, there was two. Both of these kids who wanted to be cops said there's responsibility on both sides. And my question was, how can you say that there's responsibility on both sides when one side has the full backing of the government, a gun, a badge, and a license to utilize the gun to lay down the other threat and the other side has no backing whatsoever. How can you say that it's 50-50 in that situation? And I'm not saying the community doesn't bear any responsibility for making sure situations don't de-escalate, but by no stretch is it 50-50 when you have the authority and the ability to kill me at will. You bear more responsibility. You see the same thing when I was a soldier in the military. Whenever we were interacting with especially protesters or anything like that, the responsibility for keeping the situation calm was with us. It was on the soldiers. It was never on the protesters who were outside of the base protesting about whatever it was they were protesting about. It was never on the news cameras that might have been around at the time filming the protest. It was never on anybody else but us as soldiers. When I go into other, when I worked in other jobs as various other types of professionals, it was always my responsibility as the professional in the situation to keep the situation calm. Always my responsibility. It's not until you get into talking, like you said, talking about police officers, that all of a sudden it's no longer the professional's responsibility to de-escalate the situation.
Right.
Now it's the quote-unquote customer's responsibility, because let's be clear, they provide a service to the community. The community are the customers of the police department. So
right, this is the only business where the customer is wrong.
Right.
All the time.
The customer is required. And I know a lot of people might take issue with that, but just bare-bones scenario, look, we pay for police services through our taxes. They provide us
right.
a service. We are the customers of the police department, bare-bones breaking it down. And like you said, this is the only industry where the customer is required to police themselves in the face of the professional and is also required to accept that they're wrong when the professional
right.
says
even,
they're
even
wrong.
If they're right. Right. Yeah, and it's like, you know, I read an article about the album, the hip-hop album, Let's Get Free by Dead Prez that came out in, what, 99, 2000, right? And in the article, it was talking about how right Dead Prez was at the time and how so far ahead of time in the game they was. Because everything that people are talking about now in mass social media and around these things, Dead Prez had in that album, all those elements in that album. And one song is Police State. And, you know, it's like I throw a Molotov cocktail at the precinct. You know how we think, organize the hood of the I Ching. Like they're going in and they're talking about the interactions with the police. And, you know, I made my video about the history of interactions with the police. And it's like there's a history that dates back like 600 years. Of negative treatment from law enforcement and people of color, namely African people. Like, that's documented. So this idea of responsibility going both ways is ludicrous. It's a popular talking point, a trained talking point that people have. And it's not something that's rooted in research in historical fact. You know what I'm saying? So When we hear people talking about that, we gotta understand that. But in schooling them, we gotta make sure that we finesse our message enough, or not even finesse, but deliver our message in the correct way to where people are hearing us. Because this is almost like they're like our behavior, but they always ignore the behavior of white people. Like every society that you study, every society has rebellion against law enforcement. Every society, every civilization has rebellion against law enforcement, especially when law enforcement get to the point to where a police state is created. Like, that's just what it is. But in this society, black people are treated differently. And it's 9 times out of 10, it's hard to disbelieve, but 9 times out of 10, I believe that this young man probably was most likely the victim of, and I can't prove it just yet, but most likely the victim of police brutality. Most likely.
I mean, I feel like any time somebody loses their life, with the exception of at the hands of the police, with the exception of being in an active shootout with the police, that's police brutality. Anything short of you actually shooting at a police officer is not grounds for you to lose your life. And here's this thing where we keep going, police are people too. Yes, but they're trained professionals. And if you a cop, your first duty, as far as what I understand, and I know my things have changed and everybody feels different now, but in my opinion, cops should be concerned with making sure that at the end of the day, everyone else goes home alive before them. That's the sacrifice you lay down
right.
when you choose to become a police officer. The service you provide is that I'm going to put my life on the line so that other people can go home to their families. I'm going to put my family at risk of losing me so that your family can have you. That is why we respect the profession so much, is because that's what we expect. Nowadays, we got a bunch of punk-ass police officers who are like, look, I'm going home to my family. I don't give a fuck what I got to do. That type of mentality doesn't deserve...
That's not a good mentality.
Yeah, it doesn't deserve the respect afforded to the profession. You might as well be a motherfucking McDonald's worker or some shit if you acting like that, in which case, I got a reason to not respect you and to give you shit. Because the service you provide to me is diminished.
I've had many debates with people about that idea of just trying to get home. Like, you signed up for this. Like, you literally signed up for this. Nobody made you do this. This is not something you were required to do. This is something you chose to do. And if your mentality is, I'm just trying to get home, you need to find you another job.
Right.
Like, that's unacceptable. Because it should be about the protection of the people. But now, looking at it realistically and historically, that's what it's designed for white America. And it's not designed, it wasn't designed for that for us. It was designed to keep us in line, if we want to be real.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with anything that you've said. The beef for me is just people need to acknowledge that difference. You know, the profession is not what you think it is. It's not, you know, like, it doesn't deserve the type of respect and the type of homage. Imagine if our military fought like that. Imagine if
y'all would be in jail.
Right. Like, everybody would be deserted. We would lose every engagement. It wouldn't even be close. The United States would not be a threat to anybody if our military operated with the pretense of every single soldier thinking, man, fuck this war. I'm going home to be with my family. Fuck the other troops. I'm going home to be with my family.
Yeah, it would be no military.
Right. You can't.
It would be very few.
Like that.
Right.
So imagine if anybody had that profession. Imagine if firefighters had that outlook. Man, fuck this fire. I'm going home to be with my family.
Right. Right. I mean, once again, you know, like liking it to my job, our thing is, no matter what it is, even if it's down, when I have an intern, my job is to make sure that when this student leaves, this student has a knowledge base that can help them realistically in the real world be able to find work and excel at their work. If I can't do that, that goddamn student need to find somewhere else to be.
So,
but everybody don't get down like that, though.
Right. And so with this story, like with all the other stories, it's just, to me, I look at it from the communal approach, not to discount the individual narratives that make up our community perspective, but I do feel like far too often we get bogged down in the individuals instead of looking at the total picture of what's being painted. And I understand the importance. You want to acknowledge the individuals as individuals, and their individual stories are what move various people into action. But I do feel like when we talk about these things, it's so easy to get into the specific details of, well, this happened and this happened in this specific case, and to miss out on everything else. Movements are built on things that happen across the spectrum of people, not just to one individual person. But this situation is still sad, nonetheless, because it's another black person.
It's an effed up situation. It's an effed up situation because it feels like excessive force was used.
I mean, unless, and I go back to what I said earlier, unless a cop, unless they can prove that he fired off a round at the cop shouldn't have fired off a round at. Look, that profession, and I'm going to say it another way, that profession is a profession of hitting back, not of hitting first. Shoot back. Don't shoot first. If a black kid pull out a gun and shoot out a white officer, and a white officer pull out their gun and shoot that black kid, you won't hear me protesting. Anything else? Well, you won't hear me protesting about the officer shooting the kid. There might be something else in that situation for me to protest. But that's neither here nor there. But anything short of that, I don't give a damn if a black person has a gun on them. I don't care if they reach for it. You don't know what they're going to do when they reach for it. Maybe they're reaching for it to show you they got it. Maybe they're reaching for it to throw it on the ground so that they don't accidentally shoot themselves. Maybe they're reaching for it to throw it away so that you don't know why they're reaching for the gun. Your job as a police, I can't say your job. In my view, the responsibility of the cop is to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. And black people aren't getting that benefit of the doubt. So unless they're going to say that this kid was shooting at the cop and the cop shot the kid, it's excessive force to me. It's too much.
But also, let's remember, he was shooting for the gun is a classic excuse as well. I mean, he was reaching for the gun. It's a classic excuse. The Negro was reaching for the gun, so I had to neutralize him. Because it could have been... black dude could have sunned him. He could have been smarting off or whatever the officer felt, and the officer felt like he had to regain power. So now there's supposedly dash cam footage or body cam footage supposed to be out there that we're waiting to be released to find out more about it. But I don't know, man. I mean, I don't feel like the young man was in the wrong. I can be honest enough to say I don't want to feel like that either. But all in all, I don't feel like the young man probably was in the wrong. I feel like it was excessive force. And I realize that I'm using the term, the phrase I feel like, and which means that's how I want it to be. But historically speaking, though, that's how it usually is, to be fair.
Well, I'm going to be honest, though. I don't care too much about the dash cam footage and all of that, because all of that shit did is confirm what we already knew. But it didn't change nothing else. So black people have been saying for a while the police treat us unfairly. Now we got footage of it, but they still not being convicted. You know, there have been a couple cases of that here in North Carolina. Dash cam footage comes out showing an officer in the wrong. Nothing happens to the officer. Like, the shit has been going on for so long now that I don't know why black people still keep thinking that the dash cam footage and the body cam footage and all that shit is as if it's going to make a difference. It's not. They don't even give us the courtesy of turning the shit off. They leave the cameras on. Fuck you up. And then tell the
Yeah, it don't mean nothing.
Yeah, and then tell everybody, oh, what you see ain't what you seen. Nah, that ain't mm-hmm.
I mean, that's power, though. That's what real power is. You have real power. Like when I hear black people talking about, man, ain't no white supremacy. Man, we have a black supremacy exists, too. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
You gotta go read the compensatory code, man. You gotta understand this race thing.
Yeah, it exists as an ideology in terms of people out there that think that black people are superior to white people, but that's purely theoretical, purely ideological. That has no real world tangible results. So it's not same ballpark as white supremacy.
Right, but even when they say that, they're talking about it from a purely genetic standpoint. They're not talking about it from a practical standpoint of something that's being applied for world domination. See, white people believe it. White people believe that they're biologically superior, as well as went on out and practiced the art of domination.
Hey, the fact of the matter is, until we start dealing with implicit bias, and we start, and it's not even like it's something you can do specifically to the police force. The police force is a microcosm. It's a small example of what exists in America as a whole. You got to change the culture of America in order to change the culture of the police force. Otherwise, you can stick black people in there. They got the same implicit bias that white people do towards black people. And it's that implicit bias that puts them in heightened emotional states when they get into a compromising situation that I had them see a black wallet as a black gun. It's that same level of social conditioning exists on all of us. We see it every day in the movies. We hear about it in the news. We read about it in the papers, in the books, the music videos. It's everywhere. That stuff affects you. And so even the well-meaning black people that get onto the police force thinking that they're going to make a change, not realizing that they have the same types of biases that these white folk do because they grew up in the same social environment. It might be lessened to a degree by you being black. I'm not saying it's of the same level, but you still have the same biases. They're just weaker forms of it. So, in that situation, everybody needs to be retrained. And it's not something that's going to happen in a bubble with the police force. It needs to happen in the schools. It probably really should start in the education system, talking about pre-K and elementary school. You need to
Has to be a total social reconfiguring of everything, of how perception, of the perception of people. But once again, that would also be a result of the deconstruction of white supremacy in America, which means America would have to basically be like start over in a social sense, in a cultural sense. It would have to start over in how America is ran.
True.
So, but yeah, man. But anyway, man, that's just our thoughts and feelings on that. We just feel like the situation could be handled better, and that young man don't have to be dead.
Nah, that man don't have to be dead.
So our next topic is there's a Bronx teen who allegedly faked her own kidnapping. So there's a video of, like, she's walking down the street. She's in the Bronx, and the mom in the Bronx walking down the street, and a car pulls up, snatches the girl in the car, throws her mama out the way, and pulls off with the girl. And days later, from my understanding, when it happened, a lot of people didn't really believe that the girl was really kidnapped. It was like, stink don't have, it felt a lot like Jesse Smollett. And it turns out to be Jesse Smollett Jr. So it says, the teen missing girl who appeared to be abducted while walking with her mother has been found and is back home, police confirmed time. But Kara Sanchez, who's the girl, that's her name, that's who the faking girl, she's 16 years old, told police that her terrifying experience was all a hoax, according to the New York Times, and that she was trying to become famous. Her ass is famous now. Shortly after she was found on Tuesday afternoon, she was questioned by officers. Sanchez's alleged kidnapping was prompted an Amber Alert in the steady streams of news, was a stunt stage because she was angry with her mother, the Times reports. See, these teens on this bullshit these days, right? One police officer said that Sanchez described her mother as overprotective. Police officials said the girl's family was considering moving back to their native Honduras, but the teenager wanted to remain in the U.S. Her disappearance unnerved New Yorkers after a disturbing video released by the New York City Police Department earlier Tuesday showed what looks like two men grabbing and kidnapping Sanchez off the street. Police are still deciding whether the men involved in the setup will face criminal charges. The two men get out of the car, grab Sanchez, and dragged her into the vehicle, according to the police. They then drove away, leaving Sanchez's mother at the scene, and that's what I described. So, she need her ass whooped, and y'all go ahead and move back to Honduras. Fuck all that. She need her ass whooped. Obviously, she ain't mature enough to stay her ass in New York.
Juicy Smooth Yay too.
The return of Quadisha.
I don't
somebody
know.
Need their ass whooped for being on that bullshit.
Yeah, I'm kind of like, but why, sis? Like, why?
That's a bitch ass temper tantrum.
I mean, at 16 years old, you tend to do stupid shit.
I mean, I get it. But I wasn't stupid and reckless at 16.
Like, this is beyond stupid. This is reckless too. Like,
because the last thing I want my mom to like. I don't know. Look, I'm not saying I had the roughest life, but real shit happened when we grew up. Like, real shit. Like, we experienced the real world. I've seen my mother experience a lot of loss and heartbreak. The last thing I want to do is contribute to that by faking my own damn kidnapping. Life can already throw you a mountain of challenges already, let alone have it to be added to, your burdens added to by your dumbass teenager who want to fake their kidnapping. Like, what kind of traumatic shit? No, dog, that's a traumatic experience on her mother.
Yeah. That's why I said, what was her goal? Like, did her and her mama get in the fight and she just wanted to hurt the shit out of her mama? And if this is how she chose to do it, what
she
the
failed.
Hell kind of daughter are you raising? Like what's going on here?
Yeah, like, is this just typical dumbass teenage move? Y'all got some deeper shit going on in that household. Like, the fuck, man?
Yeah, this is one of those things where I want to go in. Obviously not. I don't have the capability or the skills to go in like you do on six. But I want to go in. But I just, there's just so many questions. Like,
well, It's like, okay, I wouldn't go in on the teenager the way I would go in on an adult because she's still in her stupid stage. But a level of going in is needed because she did the stupid ass shit. And it's different than, oh, I'm gonna show my mama, I'm gonna steal $20 out of her purse. That's some shit I would do. That's me. Like me, that's some shit I would do. So I at the max, I turn the stove off when my mama cooking something, mess with her. One time I did spray the fire extinguisher in the house, got my ass whooped. I ain't do that again, but still, stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Stuff like that, but nothing traumatic.
There's just so many questions. Like, what has to go through your mind where you're like, huh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fake my own kidnapping in front of my mama. I'm going to
have
dudes come up while I'm walking with my mom, snatch me up, put me in the car, drive off, and we just going to hang out for a couple hours.
So basically, I'm going to show my mom that it really ain't safe for me to be out in the streets by myself, because, hell, it ain't safe for me to be out with her.
And so then the question for me, having a good one of them black women that you read about in the books and watching the movies, when I go home and she finds out that I faked my own kidnapping in front of her, it's no longer safe for me to be at home.
Well, with your mother, yes, and my mother, yes.
So I'm just from the perspective of that, even trying to configure, like, that's where I go back to, what were you hoping to accomplish? I need to know, because none of it makes sense, especially if I'm going to, like, if I would have did something like this, I would have never admitted it. The dudes that took me, they would have went to jail forever, because I would have never come clean, because my mom would have killed me. No, y'all, I'm sorry. Y'all agreed to it. This was the consequences of your actions. You kidnapped me. Matter of fact, I would go into full-fledged victim mode. They straight up kidnapped me. So the fact that she even had the wherewithal or the balls or the courage, the bravery, whatever you want to call it, to admit.
Unmitigated gall.
To admit that she set up her own kidnapping in front of her mom. I'm just like, yo, like what? I don't know. Like, is this some New York shit that they do? Is this some Honduran shit? Like, what is? I don't know.
I doubt it's some New York shit. Know what I'm saying? Not like smart teen New York shit. I doubt it's that. And she's black. So the fact that I'm seeing a young black teen do this, what the fuck? But that's once again, being able to answer that question, understanding not integration, but what we call that, what's the other word we use? It's a little deeper than integration. Assimilate, yeah. There you go, assimilate. But, Pat, you know me, man. She need her ass whooped, man.
Yeah, she definitely needs her ass whooped. The debate is, does her mama need her ass whooped, too?
That is a good question. That is a good question, because because... You only think about that in environments that's conducive for some shit like that.
Right.
I have friends who their parents gave them what they wanted, but they wasn't spoiled to the point to where they were brats. There's still a level of control. I beat your motherfucking ass control. Right? That's still there, but it's not visible. I don't see that in this case, or I'm not sensing that in this case. I'm sensing spoil, as in I get what I want no matter what, and there's no limits to this spoiledness. That's what I'm getting with this.
Yeah, this is, it's just,
so,
it's weird.
More than one person may need an ass whoop.
Especially in light of the increased attention that sex trafficking and kidnapping and all of that.
Right. Right. You want to play this bullshit and also, I want to say this too, because we got to put this stuff into perspective. Sex trafficking, human trafficking, especially for black people, black women, is something that has happened since white contact. It has always happened. It has always been high rates of it. It's always been like that. But now we're paying attention, and now we're able to quantify things, and now we're putting it on social media. It's in people's faces, and people have been able to quantify it. People have been talking about it. People have been rallying about it. But the majority of people are just now starting to pay attention and care. That's one of the main differences. Mm-hmm. Do want to say that. But, yeah, with all that going on, man, like, yeah, look, girl, you tripping. But, mama, we got our eye on you, too, now.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so, yeah, man, but, yeah. Yeah, that's all I can say about that one, man, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So man, let's transition a bit, man. Let's get a little heavier, man. Russell Simmons and Oprah. You familiar with this story?
Yeah, I'm somewhat familiar with it, yeah.
Okay, so from my understanding, from what I heard, radio stuff I read, so Russell Simmons was previously accused of sexual assault, multiple counts of sexual assault and all these things. Some of the stories just didn't add up when I was hearing a lot of information about it. But if all in all, Russell Simmons was not found guilty of anything, there's no evidence to point that he's done anything. Not saying that he did or didn't, don't know. We just don't have any evidence. So he wasn't found in anything in a criminal way or anything like that. So Oprah, who's already been a part of the documentary accusing Michael Jackson as being a sexual offender, as a part of this documentary against Russell Simmons, accusing him of sexual allegations and things. And Russell Simmons is like, damn, Oprah, what the fuck, man? Like, first of all, I thought we was cool. Second of all, I've helped your ass. Third of all, how the fuck you gonna come after me with no evidence when you got all these white men, Harvey Weinstein, and all these other white boys you cool with evidence against them that your ass is fucking ignoring? What the fuck, Oprah? That's where we at with that. And so a lot of people have been getting in Oprah's ass. And we want to be one of the next to get in Oprah's asses, too. So that's why we want to talk about this. Because we just want to get in line and say, what the fuck? Because on something like this, is a big what the fuck is appropriate, I believe. What about you?
No, I definitely think it's appropriate. And, I mean, even to the Michael Jackson angle, you know, don't forget, like, when Mike was alive, him and Oprah was supposed to be cool, too. So,
right.
You know, Oprah got this thing. I don't know if she's on this, what kick she's on, where she, I know she feels like she has to stand up for women.
Well, she seems to think she has to stand up for white people.
Yeah, but and that's where I'm getting to. Like, her allegiance seems to be to gender over race. And she, Oprah has always, in my opinion, kind of been race blind. She's shown moments where you think, okay, Oprah understands something.
She played both sides.
But, right, and that's kind of been my frustration with Oprah. So now, in the face of, like you said, Harvey Weinstein and all of these other people, these other white dudes who we know, there's irrefutable proof that they've been messing around with underage women and they've been drugging people and they've been doing all of this and doing all of that. You go after a man who was acquitted?
Right. Like, the man who was acquitted, no evidence. But, like, somebody like Harvey Weinstein, like, the motherfucker had sexual assault in his contract. Basically, you signed this contract to be a part of this movie. It's you signing something that's allowing me to sexually harass you, allegedly. They told me I got to start saying that, so I got to make sure I say that. Allegedly, Harvey Weinstein had that in his contracts. Allegedly.
I mean, you know, but whether he had it in his contracts or not, he was doing the shit. That ain't alleged at all.
Well, we know. But
I don't understand why.
I've been practicing.
Well, Oprah, I mean, I've kind of been on the kick Oprah ass bandwagon for a while.
Well,
this is just another reason for me to stay on it.
Well, for me, I've never been like head over heels about Oprah. But one of the things that really raised my eyebrows about Oprah and race and black men is when she did that show, a series of shows, calling out black male rappers and hip hop music for its content, but blatantly ignoring the content that white male Hollywood directors put out on a regular basis. Well, and this is like one of these things, again, Oprah is blindly going after the black man while overlooking her relationships with these white pedophiles that she has.
And that's where I go back to, I think Oprah has some sort of vendetta against black men. And that's where I go back to,
she might do.
I think she she sees herself as a woman over being black, primarily because she seems to have some sort of disdain for black men. And it might stem from the years that she was an adult before, or, you know, the years of her life period before she became world famous, super rich Oprah. It might stem from, we don't know what happened to Oprah in those development years. But she has, in my opinion, she has always seemed like she had some sort of issue with black men in mass, not on an individual level. We know that she can, you know, anybody can be friends with somebody in a particular group that they don't care for. And so I know she has black dudes she associates with. But she, I mean, I just don't see any other way around it. When you put the pieces together, when you look at the types of projects she's been involved in, the types of things that she's done, I don't know how to piece it together any other way without actually talking to Oprah. And even if you talk to Oprah, you got to question whether or not you get the truth from her.
Yeah, I doubt you will, because I think Oprah has maybe done some things, and other people have stuff on her that would skew her view and her allegiance. And she may have been brought into some things, because, you know, a lot of times in a lot of certain spaces and things, you know, if you do certain things and you find yourself embedded, and when you find yourself embedded, you're always going to have to work for these people. So Oprah currently is not, I don't see Oprah as an asset to us. Oprah is looked at as an asset. Oprah is an asset to herself. Oprah is an asset to white America. But the overall thing, outside of inspiration and motivation and the certain individuals she's helped, how has Oprah truly been an asset to black America? But then particularly in this case, it's disgusting. Her stance and position is this, and this is totally and utterly disgusting. And she needs to be called out for the fuck shit that she's doing. And I want more people to call, more people to speak truth to power. Like if we're gonna call, we always call the motherfuckers out. Let's call motherfuckers out. She is not above reproach. There's no human being, no black person in this world that's above reproach, especially when they're doing shit like this. Or you're going after a man who was acquitted, where you have no evidence, but you have all these white dudes with evidence against them that you know shit is going on, and you refuse to say anything about them. You about that bullshit?
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that. I haven't viewed Oprah as an asset to the community for a while. I think Oprah could be an asset to the community. When you look at all she's done, she could have been a very powerful asset, especially for little black girls. But it's just not there, in my opinion. You rarely if ever see or hear or read about Oprah taking a stance against white supremacy.
Right.
She's usually trying to play the middle of the fence, trying to play both sides. Or even if she's not trying to play both sides, she's trying to walk that line in the middle where she doesn't upset too many people on either side. And we saw that in some of Oprah's episodes about religion, where the crowd pushed back on her. I think it was a show where she was saying there's multiple ways to get into heaven. And her crowd, which was heavily Christian, pushed back on her. Oprah didn't
push back
on the crowd. She didn't assert her view. She didn't blah, blah. She just kind of played the middle of the fence.
She had an explanation I felt was a good explanation, but she didn't. She wasn't full force on, like, I'm going to stand my ground. She didn't let them talk. Right. I mean, but that is her. Her job is to please everyone and come out looking like a winner on both sides.
And when you come into racial politics and situations like this, trying to please everyone, you end up losing. That's what you get. That's what happens when you get a Donald Trump talking about there were good people on both sides. Not saying he was trying to please everyone, because I think he had a different
a different motive for that. But it's essentially what Oprah tries to do, just with different intent. But the actual action item is the exact same thing. Let me try to walk this middle line, and we don't need middle line walkers. They're not an asset to our community. We need people that's going to stand 10 toes down in the sand with us. Oprah ain't going to do that. So I don't see her as an asset. And if Oprah has done things and I don't know about them, then I can accept that I'm wrong. I can also accept that maybe she is doing things and she's doing this. Publicly to convey a different message, in which case she understands why she's getting the tongue lashing, and she's cool with it.
We can't deny that Oprah has done things and Oprah is still doing things for the community. We can't deny that. But what we can deny is overall those things don't necessarily account to great impacts on the community, real impacts. But it's the same thing as the drug dealer who show up on holidays and pass out meals and turkeys and stuff, but for the rest of the year he's still selling drugs. I mean, you're playing both sides. We can't say you don't do nothing, but we can say your negative impacts are significant.
And I just can't rock with. It's just hard for me to ride with somebody right in the middle of the fence, especially when you have as much power and as much wealth as Oprah has. Oprah is arguably the most powerful black woman in America, the most powerful country on the planet.
Right.
And she chooses to use her power to go after black men more than she does anybody else.
Yep.
And this is, you know, I hate the gender arguments, black men versus black women. I hate those arguments. But in this case, let's just call it what. Be honest, I don't see Oprah doing a whole lot for black women in America either. Not in comparison to what she's doing for people in other countries, anyways. Not saying she don't do nothing, but I am saying she does a whole lot more for people in other countries than she seems to do for people in this.
Man, look at all the people who come from Chicago and look at the state of conditions in Chicago. So that right there sums it all up. So, hey. But yeah, Oprah, that's fucked up what you're doing to Russell, man. It's fucked up. We see you and we calling you out for that shit.
And a whole bunch of other shit.
Yeah. So,
I didn't tell Harpo to beat you. Wait, that wasn't Oprah. Was that Oprah?
That was Oprah. Yeah, you're right. Hell yeah, he didn't tell Harpo to beat you, damn it.
I had to amp it up after the fact.
Hey, so our last topic. Hey, did we talk about the impeachment?
Nah, you went right into the topic. I just let you go.
Yeah, why you ain't stop me?
Because I figured you was doing
real quick before we get to the last topic. Real quick, what happened with the impeachment?
I just want to get into the last. With the impeachment, the House of Republicans convicted Trump. They didn't convict him. They impeached Trump. So now what's happening is Nancy Pelosi is waiting for, who's the Speaker of the House, she's waiting for Senator McConnell, who is the head of the Senate, to put together a process for how they're going to conduct the trial. She hasn't sent the articles of impeachment over, and it doesn't go to the Senate until the House sends it to the Senate. So she's holding the articles of impeachment with her until he comes up with a process that she feels like is fair. In order for him to be convicted, she's going to have to send the articles of impeachment over to be tried in the Senate. From there, it'll do what it does. But even if he isn't convicted in the Senate, there are still a bunch of other things working in the background that could see Trump being impeached again for a separate set of issues, provided he makes it out of this one. So I know there are a lot of people talking about that now. The idea is already in the conservative circles starting to rile up a lot of conservatives because it's just something, one more thing that they have to defend. It's also potentially one more thing they could spin and use against the Democrats. You know, Trump is going to try to spin it. But the Democrats do have, and if we want to be honest, just looking at the Mueller report, they have about four or five different impeachment cases that they could lay on the president, if you include the Ukraine, if you include the Mueller report, and if you include various things that happened during his presidency. They could impeach him four or five different times on four or five different situations. But that is something that's coming down the pike if he is cleared and then reelected. We are looking at the possibility of him being the first president to be impeached twice.
That'd be funny.
That would be funny. It would be very funny. I don't know how politically expedient it will be, but it would be very funny.
It'll be funny because it's another blow to his ego.
Yeah. Well, it depends, because I think at this point his ego is starting to shape itself around the idea that the harder they come at me, the better I'm doing. I think what's really a blow to his ego right now are the polls, because the polls right now, even the conservative polls, are showing that roughly 50% of Americans that have been polled believe that Trump should be impeached and removed. That is a major blow to him because, you know, that's half of the people being polled, which is supposed to represent half of the population. And when you add in polls all across the political spectrum are coming up with this same rough number, it makes the assumption that half of America believes he should be removed a pretty fair and accurate assumption. And for somebody like Trump, I think that's a tremendous blow to his ego. Half these motherfuckers want me gone. But
Yeah.
So it's going interesting. The arguments have shifted a couple times. But we'll see what they shift into as it goes into the Senate. If it goes into the Senate. It probably won't be long in the Senate. McConnell has already said he's trying to push it through as quick as possible once he receives it. There have been a number of Republican senators, Lindsey Graham, who said he's not even going to pretend to be a fair and impartial juror. He feels like this is a witch hunt, and he's going to conduct himself accordingly. And there have been a number of senators who have said that they're not going to be fair and impartial, which, ironically, if they take the oath, because they all have to be sworn in before the impeachment trial begins, and that oath that they take makes them swear to be fair and impartial. If they take that oath and then stand by what they're saying now of not even trying to be fair and impartial, then that's grounds for them to have recall elections in their districts. Now, obviously, that won't happen. But if America was the America that it pretends to be, all about fact and the rule of law and blah, 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 then, you know, we could be seeing the Republican Party implode. Now, again, that's not going to happen, but, you know, it's interesting to think about. Trump has run his presidency on this whole narrative of, I'm above the law, I can do what I want, the rules don't apply to me. And now we're seeing the exact same thing from the Conservative Party that's falling in line behind him. Not even trying to hide it anymore, like white supremacists the past years, allegedly white supremacists the past years. Now they're just right out in the open with it. Let me drop my balls in your cereal. Go ahead and scoop that up and eat it.
Yeah.
Mitch.
Well, there you have it, folks. Trump impeachment in a nutshell, brought to you by Patrick Irvin. Remember to check out his podcast, Lessons from the Screen, every Saturday now, right here on Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. So, our last topic is what happened?
Yes.
Crystal Kaiser is the young lady's name. She's an alleged victim. I got to work on that. She's an alleged victim of sex trafficking. And apparently the man kidnapped her, sex trafficked her, and she was able to kill him and set him on fire. And she's being charged with his murder. And it's basically Centoya Brown all over again, but we're finding out about this in its earlier stages before she's really getting sentenced. So let me read a little bit. Metal cuffs strained against her ankles as she shuffled down the courthouse hallway. She passed a mother who had grown used to seeing her teen daughter in a jail uniform. She passed activists who saw her as a victim of child sex trafficking. She entered the courtroom where she was facing life in prison on charges of murdering her alleged sex trafficker. The court's call 1-8-CF-643, said the judge at this November hearing, State of Wisconsin versus Crystal Kaiser. Crystal looked up at him, then down at her hands. She sat between the public defenders assigned to her when she couldn't afford her own lawyer. And by this time, one of these rich black lawyers, or rich feminist lawyers, people who's supposed to fight for women should have been got assigned to her. But if not, then we see where y'all at. And anyway, beside them was the district attorney, the lead prosecutor for Kenosha County, a lakefront community of about 169,000 people between Milwaukee and Chicago. Both sides agreed to certain facts about what had brought them here. When Crystal was 16, she met a 33-year-old man named Randy Volar. Fuck you, Randy. Volar sexually abused Crystal multiple times. He filmed it. Fuck you, Randy. Mm-hmm. She wasn't the only one, and in February 2018, police arrested Volar on charges including child sexual assault. But then they released him without bail. Volar, a white man, remained free for 3 months, even after police discovered evidence that he was abusing about a dozen underage black girls. And of course, you know, they do the black girls because they figure nobody cares, right? Which is some bullshit. He remained free until Crystal, then 17, went to his house one night in June and allegedly shot him in the head twice. She lit his body on fire, police said, and fled in his car. A few days later, she confessed. District Attorney Michael Gravely, whose office knew about the evidence against Volar but waited to prosecute him, charged Crystal with arson and first-degree intentional homicide, an offense that carries a mandatory life sentence in Wisconsin. Fuck you, Attorney Michael Gravely. Gravely says he believes Crystal's crime was premeditated. Nah, Gravely, I believe you a bitch. How about that? The evidence, he argues, shows she planned to murder Volar so she could steal his BMW. Fuck his BMW and you. Crystal, who's now 19, maintains she was defending herself. Speaking publicly from jail for the first time, she said that when she told Volar she didn't want to have sex that night, he pinned her to the floor. I didn't intentionally try to do this, she said. So that's what's going on. Her case, when is her case? Stuff is going on now, but she's 19 now. So it's been 3 years since the incident. And yeah, so how do we help her, Pat?
I think we need to know. You know my phrase, we need to know more. Because there are a bunch of different sides to this story. On the one side, you do have the fact that I think everybody agrees that she was a victim of sexual trafficking. She was being prostituted or being forced to be prostituted and at a young age, where she was far too young to make that decision on her own.
Right.
And so, you know, moving from there, things start to get murky depending on what you believe and who you believe, because the DA and the judge and everybody else seems to believe that she drove to his house voluntarily with the intentions of killing him. There was no rape that particular night. They're not saying there wasn't, historically he didn't rape her. They're just saying that particular night, that wasn't the case. She came over to kill him. And on the other side, you have the other story, which is that she was there being raped, and she killed him in self-defense.
Right.
And so it gets to be interesting. Now that she shot him two times in the head and then set the house on fire,
I mean, it doesn't help her case. It that that I mean, to be real, because knowing how the law works, and not saying that it doesn't help her case and saying what she deserves, what she get, but knowing how the law works, they're going to try to at least get her on that stuff there.
Yeah.
If it isn't the self-defense stuff, it's what they would look at as excessive and stuff like that.
Because I don't feel like she deserves life in prison. That's
right.
Excessive.
Right.
I don't believe that the $1 million bail that was set is fair. But even to all of that, even if she did drive over to his house with the intention of killing him, there still has to be some level of concern or something for the fact that she had gone through what she had gone through. She was clearly traumatized. She was clearly, you know, dealing with things in a certain type of way. And all of those things have to, in my opinion, have to be taken into consideration with this case. I don't think that it's fair for you to say, well, she murdered him in cold blood, given everything that he had done to her.
Right.
That's not fair at all.
Yeah, that's
there has to be some sort of consideration for that.
But there's also the bullshit in the law, in this whole justice system when it comes to sexual violent crimes. The justice system just don't give a fuck about that shit. So what they see, they just see another young black child who killed a white person, and they want to go after the black child, ignoring everything that happened that led up to that, which is the bullshit because they don't really give a shit.
Right. And I get the argument against vigilante justice. You don't want vigilante justice. You don't want people running around taking justice into their own hands. That's true. But justice has to be, in my opinion, it has to be fair. It has to be totally uncompromising. So you can say she shouldn't have did what she did, while at the same time saying, but I understand why she did what she did.
But you can't say she shouldn't do what she did. You can't say that because...
Well, it depends on which story. Like, so if we're adhering to the story that that he was in the process of actively raping her...
Again?
And she was fighting back. Right, again. And she was fighting back. If that's the story that we're going to, then you're 100% right. Nobody can say that she was wrong for doing what she did. But if you're going to ascribe to the other narrative, then even then you can say, okay, she shouldn't have did what she did, but I understand why she did it. She shouldn't get the full weight of, you know, the entire situation. You know what I'm saying? It shouldn't all be put on her. So that's why I said, I think from my perspective, we need more information. I'm more inclined to believe her side of the story, just because she's a black girl and the Justice Department ain't shit.
Yeah, it made me mad, man. It made me mad because, once again, it's like another young black person is in a situation to where it's difficult to help her. And my thing is, I wonder what type of help is she getting, since this thing is public. Now, hell, it's public, because we talk about it, even though we feel like we do a pretty good job of finding information. But I wonder what type of real legal help is she getting, or people who can really help her are just shaking their head and saying, damn, that's a bad thing, or people really, really helping her, like real lawyers, real black lawyers, or real whoever lawyers are looking at this and say, I want to take this case and help this young lady. I hope that's happening.
Well, I hope it's happening too, but I don't know. I'm kind of a cynic when it comes to things happening in the black community. I just don't know that I believe, because, you know, if she was a little white girl, this would have went away. Even if the judge didn't want it to go away, somebody would have found a way to make the judge make it go away. Unfortunately, this is not a little white girl. So, but it does remind me a lot, like you mentioned, of the Centoya Brown situation and how fucked up that situation was. Whether right. you agreed with the way everything went down or not, you had to acknowledge that it was still a fucked up situation. And this situation is another one. At the end of the day, what can be done to help her? At this point, I think she needs proper, good legal care, which it sounded like, from the articles I read, it sounded like she still had a public defender.
Right.
So that's bullshit. Not saying public defenders can't do a good job, but a public defender ain't going to have the time or the resources available to do what a retained attorney can do that's only working on your case. So
a real lawyer. Right.
So I don't know, man. This is one of them situations where we need more evidence before we can really tee off. In my
yeah, opinion. Yeah. I mean, I do agree that we do need more evidence, but I do think that we could tee off on the overall situation and the overall system because it should be like, all right, let's go above and beyond. I understand why you have to apprehend her, have to take her in, because you know after her shooting him, she set him on fire, and they're looking at that as some more things. It's kind of like the story of the young girl who came and told her father that some dude was in the bathroom trying to bust into the stall in her. And so by the time the father found out what had happened, it was after the fact. So the father found the dude, daughter pointed the dude out, the father found the dude, beat the dude up, and father got arrested. And people like wondering why, but well, you know, you can't just go finding dudes like that. Legally, you can't go do that. Like as a father, as a real one and all that, nobody's mad at you for doing that. But legally, this is what's going to happen if that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing with this is there's elements in this that lead to things like, damn, well, it's some things in there that you can see why she's in that position, but she shouldn't be in this position.
Right.
Because they've been knew he was a damn molester, and they're just letting him go around just being a molester.
Right. And in that note, I agree, and I do definitely take issue with the way the police conduct certain types of investigations. If you know somebody is committing crimes, especially crimes against minors, you got to gather evidence. You want to make a case stick. But, you know, they have to be held responsible and accountable for all of the people's
evidence
while they building evidence.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just let this sucker ass motherfucker just run free and all these things. Hey, look at what's going on.
Right. And from what I was reading, they found his body when they were coming to arrest him for sex trafficking anyways. They already had a case against him and all this other stuff, so which means they have been watching him for a while. So I do take issue with that, but I don't know. I mean, that goes back to the police issues we have. When we talked, the very first thing we talked about was the police and how detrimental the way they do things is to the entire community. And this is just another example of that, in my opinion.
The way we relate to them is always been unhealthy, and it's never gotten better. It's a blame game. It's all a blame game. It's all, well, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. It's your fault. No, it's your fault. And really, like, it's the police's fault. It's the police's fault. Everything that you see black people doing and things, it's retaliation. It's retaliation to the conditions.
Right.
So.
It's a sad story, though. See a young sister going through this again.
Right.
But the sadder thing is, I wonder how many other cases, not the sadder, but I do wonder how many other cases like this there are out there. Like how many sisters, young sisters, are being left to fend for themselves in situations like this.
Probably too many, man. To be honest, probably damn too many.
So, you know, even thinking about the Centoya Brown, the Centoya Brown connection of everything, you know, how many sisters are in locked up in the pen right now on situations just like that? It's just, it's sad. But, you know, that goes back to larger shows about, you know, all of it ties back into the police discussion we had earlier, especially from the standpoint of understanding how white people are given the benefit of the doubt, even when they're clearly wrong.
Right. Always. That's how the system's set up. But us, we are seen as always the problem. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, man, that's that bullshit, man. That's that bullshit. But this is the America we live in. It's the America we can know. We cannot afford to hide from our children. All you do is put them behind the eight ball and learning how to thrive in this situation or be able to escape it through liberation and creating your own stuff. You just teach them to be docile citizens of oppression, which is that bullshit. So,
definitely.
Hey, man, any parting shots or info you want to drop on folks' heads, man?
Power to the people. No, I ain't got nothing.
Okay. Man, let's do better. Let's do better as a whole. That's all I can say right now. Let's do better as a whole, man. One time for your mind. It's Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. It's Freedom Train Radio. Freedom Train podcast series, rather, on the Freedom Train Network. www.freedomtrainradio.com is the website. Yeah, man, there it is. We'll catch y'all next week. And remember to wash your hands. That help keep down on the spread of germs and stuff like that. So,
word.
Yeah, and if you see somebody sneaking out your mother's bedroom, it's me. So, bye.
Don't shoot.
Right.